airports around the world or around the corner.
Let travel experts help guide your next adventure. This is Liz Fleming Travels, presented by CAA Travel. Dream now, travel later. Here's your host, Liz Fleming.
Hey, travel buddies. Welcome to this week's edition of Liz Fleming Travels. I think there's nothing more exciting than looking forward to a fabulous adventure. And I love it when someone else helps to plan that fabulous adventure for me. So today I have two wonderful women who agreed to have a chat with us. They are from the Divine Destination Collection. They are the founders and partners at that Divine Destination Collection. And so today we're going to be speaking with Allison Frame, who is the Chief Luxury Adventure Relationship Officer, and Deb Niven, who is the Visionary and Connection Maker. Ladies, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, we're excited to be here, Liz.
Thank you so much for having us. And that's a mouthful, those titles, aren't they?
It is. But you know what? I like it that you haven't shortened it too much, because all those words for me conjure up the idea of luxury and adventure and fun, and particularly the word connection. So I'd like to start with a little bit of history. How long have you been in business and how did you find each other?
Well, we started in 2012, so we have just celebrated our 10th anniversary. We had quite the decadent party the other night. Get it? Decadent. Anyway, we, Allison and I work together in the corporate world. I own another company that caters to corporations and doing their meetings and incentives. So we cut our teeth on the most discerning of customers. These are high net worth award winners. And we work together helping to curate programs all over the world at high end luxury and pulling back the veil of those destinations to show the things that were unique and things that a traveler really couldn't do on their own. So we got a lot of experience doing that in the corporate world. And then, you know, over a conversation on a drive to my cottage one day, we started to talk about, because we're seekers, you know, and by seekers, I mean, we're really interested in expanding our souls and really understanding the deeper meaning of life. And so we call ourselves spiritual, and we don't mean that in a religious way. We just mean that in a, you know, expanding your consciousness, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we wondered, could we combine, you know, this level of luxury and this really unique way of traveling to destinations that are somewhat sacred. And again, by sacred, I mean, they have a special energy to them. And then we could help unveil, you know, that special energy to our travelers and keep our groups small. And we both looked at each other and went, I think it's possible. We can combine luxury, adventure, and spirituality all in one travel experience. And we knew we had something unique because, sure, there's a lot of luxury travel out there. Yes, there's adventure travel out there. And yes, there is separately spiritual travel. But when you think of it, sometimes it's, you know, ashrams and Birkenstocks and, you know, on the ground.
Yeah, I get the picture.
You get it? And we, you know, we thought, no, let's do this differently. Let's create a sense of comfort so that people can come out of their comfort zone, but in a comfortable way. So that's the history.
Dipping your big toe in the world of spirituality, reconnection with yourself, mm-hmm. As Deb said, in a comfortable, luxurious sort of way where there's balance between great sheets, great accommodation, great food, and reconnection with yourself.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a brilliant, brilliant concept. So, Allison, can you give me an example of one of your first destinations that you chose and what kind of a trip you built in that destination?
Well, when we first started our business, we started small and we kept it kind of close to the city of Toronto. So our first adventure was up to Muskoka, mm-hmm. and we chose Muskoka because of its sacred place with the Aboriginal community and sort of the energy of the land. And we brought that all in while staying at the JW Marriott, mm-hmm. Up there. And we did sort of mushroom foraging, and we had elders come in and chat with us and talk about their traditions. And then we did a field to fork dinner at a private working farm, which was fantastic. So that's kind of how we started, and then moved up from there to Arizona, which has a very sort of spiritual element to it, particularly in Sedona, where we went to. With,
mm-hmm. I've been done
Bali and Peru, and just, you can tell by these destinations that they all have sort of that spiritual hook.
Yes, I can tell. And I think that's a brilliant hook. And I've been to many of the places that you've just mentioned. And I know there is something about each of those places. So one of the great challenges of putting together great tours is keeping the numbers small enough so that people feel that they are having a really special personal experience, but large enough so that the Divine Destination Collection can make some money. So let's talk about the size of your groups and who are your clients?
Well, we're going to contain the size of our groups to, you know, we an average is about 22 people. Maybe we would go as large as 30, depending on the destination and the ease of logistics. And we do that on purpose because, to your point, Liz, we want to keep an intimate experience and not turn it into a cattle herding experience. So our clients are, they really range from, they're women, I think, between 45 and 65 are our biggest clients, but we also have some men who are single and some who are married who just want the adventure and come on their own. We have couples who come. We have people come with their daughters. It's really a range of, and we've had people as young as 20, 21, 25 on the trips with their parents, but it's really been, it's always the right combination of people.
Right.
It's really quite unique how that happens.
And so, Allison, when you have this group of, say, 20 people, does everyone, I'm thinking about the logistics, because my world involves going on a lot of press trips. And we always laugh and say, a press trip is like herding cats. And I'm guessing that there's a certain element of that with a group of 20 people. Do you try to have everyone eat their meals together, or is there freedom to have dinner just with your partner if you want? How does it work?
Well, throughout all of our programs, we have a really lovely balance. So usually we have three or four meals together, dinners together, like a welcome, where people can get to know each other. And then other opportunities, well, we'll have dinner at leisure where, couples or mother daughters can go out and explore on their own, where we would also have recommendations where they could go. But it's a really, what we found anyway, is a really lovely balance between activities and leisure time.
And I want to add to that, that when we do group people together, we do unique things. We don't just typically go to a restaurant. We, in Arizona, we kayaked very casually and elegantly down a river. We were met on the riverbank with that vineyard's premier rosé. We walked up, we took over the vineyard privately as we overlooked the bluff. And then we had wine tasting and we had special entertainment. So we turn every, evening meal that we do plan together into an experience, an encounter.
It's a great night.
Yeah.
That sounds absolutely lovely. So Allison, we've talked about what happens at dinner. Let's talk about what happens during the day. Does everyone take part in the same activity at the same time, or are there a range of choices? How does it work?
Well, it depends on the destination and the program. But first off, nothing is mandatory. We put together a beautiful program, and if you're not feeling it that day, there is no pressure to come and join us. But what we do is, as Debbie said, we pull back the veil of each destination. So we'll generally take everyone to, I'm thinking in south of France, this is going to come up in June of next year. We have Mary Magdalene experts who are going to take us to various villages where she is said to have taught. And we will also offer optional day activities. We call it Your Day, Your Way, mm-hmm. which you have the opportunity to, choose what type of activities you want, whether you want to go wine tasting or whether you want to go sightseeing in a local village, or if you want to go to a Michelin star restaurant, that sort of thing.
Okay. And are all of the costs for all of the various activities included in the price, regardless of what you choose, or is it sort of like picking from a menu?
Most of the pricing is included, and that we include alcohol in our pricing. Good. So that, that takes, I think, the pressure off people for budgeting. Mm-hmm. And then some of the activities that are optional, for example, they would choose to pay for on their own additional to the, to their.
Yeah. Most of what we're, putting forward, what we've curated is included. It's just, and Allison and I travel on every trip. We are the, our guests' private concierge, as Allison mm-hmm. said, we're there so that when they have their leisure time, if they want help making reservations or, suggestions on what they should do with their time, we're there to help them. And we work with local partners. So it's a real high touch experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that's very, very smart, because I think that people love the freedom of being able to choose what they want to do and don't enjoy always having to be with the group at all times. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, if they're in a part of the world they've never been to before, choosing a great restaurant or deciding between one activity and another when they've never done either mm-hmm. can be a challenge. So it's wonderful that the two of you are always there to help them by providing them with the information they need to make an informed choice. I think that's really important.
And this is particularly important in destinations that are farther afield, like Peru or Africa, where people are a little uncertain. They probably wouldn't plan a trip to these faraway places on their own. So we like to think we make it an easier adventure for them.
I think you probably do. Let me ask you a question. I'm a big Peru fan. I'm guessing that you take them to Machu Picchu.
Yes. We started in Lima and went up to the Sacred Valley and went up to Cusco and Machu Picchu. And then from there, we flew up to Iquitos and had a charter Amazon cruise for everyone in the
Wonderful.
Amazon. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I did all of those things except for the cruise. And that is definitely on my must do list. So, when you go to Machu Picchu, listeners, if you haven't been yet, you have choices in terms of how you get there. Machu Picchu is on top of a very tall mountain. And you'll be stunned when you go there to discover that none of the rocks that were used to build the structures came from the top of that mountain. They came from mountains that were some distance away and were somehow brought up there by legions of slaves. Not so lucky for the slaves, but anyway, very fascinating. But there are a number of ways that you can get from Cusco to Machu Picchu. So how do you do it with your guests?
Well, we did an incredible experience. We took them by motor coach up to the top. Mm-hmm. But what we did was we chartered the Hiram Bingham train to come back from there. And I tell you, I kid you not, we had the most incredible time. We had a lovely dinner. And then we took over the bar cart where they had an incredible trio playing. And it was a magical time where every single one of our guests just came to life. They were dancing as the train moved, dancing and having pisco sours and just, after that really soul expanding experience of being in Machu Picchu, they really let their hair down. It was, really a private and unique experience. And it was a day I'll never forget personally.
I did the same with the Hiram Bingham, and it's a fantastic train, and it gives you spectacular views all the way, and it's incredible. Now, I want to ask about guides. Do you hire local guides? And if so, how does this all work?
We absolutely hire local guides. And what we do in each one of our destinations, because as you can imagine, Deb and I cannot be experts in every destination around the world.
Right.
So we hire teams in each destination that are super service oriented companies. And this is what they do for a living. And within their, I guess their Rolodex, they have many different types of guides speaking many different languages. And also because we're asking something a little different from these guides, the spiritual or sacred aspect of each of one of these destinations, they are able to provide that sort of element to us as well.
Mm-hmm. And it's so important. I think it's so important to have a really well-informed guide.
Oh, it's absolutely. And I will tell you that Allison and I, or Allison on her own, we go ahead to the destination months before we travel. And we personally interview and work, you know, with the potential guides that they are put forward to us to find the right fit and to find the right, you know, the right guide with the right personality and fount of information, because as you say, Liz, they are key.
They are absolutely key. And you know, it always breaks my heart a little bit when I'm talking to people who have spent a lot of money to go to a really special destination. And I understand. I mean, it seems like so much money when you're putting the trip together and you're looking for ways to economize. And some people say, well, you know what? We won't hire a guide. We'll just buy the guidebook. And that is such a sad way to economize. I believe that, you know, maybe skip the wine at dinner and instead of the bottle of wine, have a couple of hours with a really outstanding guide, because otherwise you risk not really knowing what you're looking at.
Totally agree.
Yeah. So now let's talk about some of your very favorite destinations.
Well, you know, we went to South Africa 2016, and we are going to go back again in 2023 because it is a trip of a lifetime. Started in Cape Town, we went into the safari country and took over Vardy Camp at Londolozi. And then we went to Victoria Falls, and it was incredible. It still resonates and ripples through my being today. It was just an incredible experience.
Africa changes who you are.
It does.
I really believe that.
It does. I couldn't agree more. I was very fortunate to be able to go to two safari destinations. Once I was in Botswana. And then the second time I was there, I was in Kenya, and I adored both of them. But on the Botswana trip, I was also very fortunate to be able to be in Cape Town, which I think is one of the most beautiful cities I've seen.
It really is.
Gorgeous, with the Table Mountain in the background. It's just spectacular.
It is just spectacular. But a funny story. I had a guide. But on one day, my guide was a bit late arriving, and he was meeting me somewhere. And I was just on my own as a journalist. And I happened to be standing, you know, the spot in Cape Town where there are all the penguins?
Oh, Boulder's Beach. Yes.
Yes. And they're behind a little fence. And they were all waddling over to, you know, to see me. And I thought I could get a better picture if I just climbed over this fence. Which I did. So then there was a conveniently placed rock. So I sat myself down on the conveniently placed rock, and in no time I was surrounded by all those little waddling, seemingly friendly penguins when my guide arrived, and he took one look at me and he said, "Get out of there. Penguins bite." And I said, "Oh, Well, they don't bite me. So
it was very you're one with the penguins, Liz.
I was at one with the penguins, exactly. So South Africa would be one of your faves and mine. What would be another?
Oh goodness, Peru, which we just spoke about, is up there on mine. But also I really enjoyed Bali. I had never been before, and it was a real dichotomy in the traffic and the city, but also the lushness and the spirituality of the place. And whether you were, you know, down by the beach, we stayed at the Four Seasons Jimbaran Bay, and then moved up to Ubud at the Four Seasons Siam, which was a completely different feel, where you're immersed in the lushness of the jungle and the temples. So I thought that was that's up there with one of my favorites.
Okay. I'm guessing that you have a lot of repeat customers, don't you?
We do. And, you know, we're proud to say once people travel with us, they always come back. But what is unique about what happens on our trips that we never saw coming was, you know, we put a lot of effort into curating the experience. It's very unique and unusual. In Peru, when we were going to the Sacred Valley, again, Allison had gone ahead and arranged to have a pop-up tented, beautifully adorned and appointed picnic in the middle of nowhere overlooking the Sacred Valley. So our participants had no idea it was going to be there. And we rounded the corner and there it was, with entertainers, with beautiful colored pillows on the ground and tent. And
oh, how lovely.
Incredible food and beverage. Yeah. And, we focus a lot on creating an incredible program that includes surprises. And as Allison said, pulls back the veil on the destination, lots of luxury, lots of great food and wine. And so, you know, we're thinking people come for that. But what really happens on top of that is all we've done is set the table, and a sumptuous one at that, for people to make connections. And every single time, some kind of magic happens as people in their own time, at their own pace, interact and meet each other because of these experiences we're putting on. And there is a bond that's created in the group that is, it's why they come back.
Mm-hmm. Why
travelers come back, because they didn't see that coming either. They came to experience a destination and experience the inclusions in our trip.
Sure.
And are always surprised by that.
In the travel writing world, mm-hmm. Our trips are a bit like what you're describing.
Mm-hmm.
And so you travel for a week or sometimes more, and you have some very intense experiences with the other people on the trip.
Mm-hmm.
And we always say that creates the tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And we are all the travel journalists who have traveled together. We're part of this tribe. And we have had these experiences that others haven't had. And so sometimes you just say a word or you make a funny face and it calls to mind a really special moment on a trip. I'm guessing it's much the same with your people.
Yeah, it's the sharing of these incredibly unique experiences, I think, that, as Deb mentioned, brings us all together. Mm-hmm. They even connect when they're back at home too, which is extraordinary. Mm-hmm. Sharing emails and getting together for dinner and it's a lovely result of our trips. Yeah.
So now let's before I run out of time here, let's talk about the logistics. Let's suppose one of my listeners is saying, "Oh, I love the sound of these two women and their company. I would like to do a, you know, something with the Divine Destination Collection." How far in advance do people need to book, and where can they see all the choices that are open to them?
Well, our website is divinedestinationcollection.com.
Okay.
And all of our trips are up there currently. As Deb mentioned, we celebrated our 10th anniversary and launched our new adventures on Monday. And so the first one is closer to home, or closer to Toronto, east of the city. We're doing an exclusive glamping experience for two mm-hmm. nights. September 25th to 27th. So that's an opportunity to sort of check us out closer to home. Mm-hmm. And then in 2023, we're going to reinstate a postponed South of France trip that was supposed to happen in 2020, but because of COVID, we've moved it now to 2023. And it's the Sacred South of France in the footsteps of Mary Magdalene for June. We're still working on finalizing dates. And then October 21st to 31st of 2023, we're going to Africa. And that would be Cape Town Safari. And a new twist, we're going to the Burundi rainforest in Uganda for some gorilla trekking.
Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's top of my list. Oh my goodness. Okay. So listeners, did you hear that? You might have to get moving quickly if you would like to be part of this first September tour, but it does sound like you have a bit of time to do some research and decide on some of the other trips. Mm-hmm. Now, when they go to that website, is there a phone number where they, because I'm sure that people listening to this have found you as charming as I have, and that they would probably like to speak with one or both of you. Is that possible?
It certainly is. Our office number is 647-352-8332, or you're welcome to send an email, and you can reach out to me. It's Allison, A-L-L-I-S-O-N, at divinedestinationcollection.com.
Perfect. Thank you so, so much, ladies, for being with me today. I think that listening to you talk about the very special bespoke kind of travel that you create for people is, it's inspiring me, and I have no doubt that it's also inspired our listeners. So thank you. And I will definitely be wanting to have you back again to tell me how some of these trips turned out.
Fantastic.
And Liz, can I just add that with our glamping trip, we are actually taking over that resort exclusively. And we do have a special promotion. If they book by June 13th, they're eligible for a $500 credit on a future Divine project program. So I just want to get that out there.
That's an important thing to get out there.
Yeah.
So thank you again for being with me today. Now, listeners, we're going to take a short break right now. But don't go away. We'll be right back with more Liz Fleming Travels.
This is Liz Fleming Travels, presented by CAA Travel on 610 CKTB. Now, back to Liz Fleming Travels on 610 CKTB.
So, travel buddies, there are a few events that happen every year that I believe are just iconically Canadian. And one of them is the Calgary Stampede. And we have a guest today. Her name is Kristen Anderson. And I love her already because my maiden name was Anderson. And she's here to talk to us about the Calgary Stampede because she is the manager of communications and media relations. Kristen, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so the Calgary Stampede has been one of those events that has suffered a bit over the last few years from the effects of the pandemic. How have things been over the last couple of years, and how are things now?
Yeah, I think like everybody that went through the last 2 years, it was a challenge, you know, going to live events, live music, live shows, festivals. I think that a lot of us missed those experiences. And what the Calgary Stampede offers in the city of Calgary, but also the Western Canada, Alberta, and Canada and North America, really, it provides an annual celebration where we can kind of come together and share those, celebrate Western heritage, which is such a big part of what Alberta and Western Canada was built on. So for well over 100 years, the Stampede has celebrated the people and animals, the land, the traditions, and the values that make up the unique spirit of the West. So I think, you know, in your part of your question, you know, how have sort of we come out of this pandemic? what we are really excited about this year is a return to a full stampede, a traditional experience. You know, seeing that live music, starting with the Calgary Stampede Parade. It's just, you know, we're firm believers in a vision to create a world-class year-round gathering place for the community. And that's really what we are. The Stampede contributes to the quality of life in Calgary and Southern Alberta, as I mentioned, you know, through the Stampede and its year-round facilities, Western events, and youth and agriculture programs. So not only is it a 10-day celebration, which we welcome tourism, you know, from all across Canada, obviously right in our backyard, the local Indigenous communities of the Treaty 7, it's really a big celebration, and we're just so excited this year that we can, you know, be together again, really.
It is. It's a wonderful thing that here in Niagara, we have the Niagara Grape and Wine Festival, except we haven't had it for the last several years. And I know we're all so excited at the idea that we will be able to be together again. So I understand that kind of excitement that you have at the Calgary Stampede. Now, for those who've never been, how long is it? When does it run? What's it like? Do you have to buy tickets in advance? Tell me about it.
Yeah, there's lots of you know, things to touch on there. Obviously, the time, first of all, it's from July 8th to 17th. Lasts for 10 days, 11 if you want to think about the sneak a peek, which is happens on the Thursday. Kicks off with the Calgary Stampede Parade, which we haven't had in the last couple of years, a full Stampede Parade. Last year, we had a truncated version of the mm-hmm. celebration that is really an iconic tradition to kick off the Stampede, and with the floats and the from the Stampede Marshal, and, you know, different members of the community and Indigenous dancing, and really just a huge kind of kickoff party. That's kind of how things get started. In terms of tickets, we have different ways of saving. Obviously, people can buy a super pass and, you know, come for the entire 10 days, you know, really spend a couple of days seeing all there is to see, which is everything from the midway, eating the foods on the road, on the midway, that all the different, you know, pickled, deep fried, you name it, lemonade, mini donuts, just that really that festival, that fair feel. And then we have an agriculture component as well too at the Nutrien Events, Western Events Center. Just a fantastic facility built only a few years ago with that showcases some of the wonderful things that are happening in the agriculture community. Heavy horses, stock dogs, team roping, really interesting, you know, aspect there too for kids, seeing how their food has been processed and grown, and getting to hold piglets and chickens and stuff. So it's really, you know, you have to really plan out a couple of days to come and see that. And then we have the Western Oasis, which features art exhibits and wine and cheese, a wine and cheese bar in there, and free programming on the Midway, which is always cool with there's BMX bikers or FMX bikers that come and put on different shows. This year we have a super wheel, which is 150 foot tall, a giant Ferris wheel that's being trucked across the border with like 20 trucks, I think it's taking to transport that and get that set up. So wow. It'll totally transform the vision of the Midway. And then, of course, you have the rodeo. One of the, it's called the greatest outdoor show on earth for a reason, because these cowboys are the real deal, top of their game. We invite only the best of the best. It's really incredibly hard to qualify for the Stampede Rodeo. So that's always a cool event to see during the day. Fun afternoon. There's lots of corporate Calgary kind of gets into it too, and parties and you know, really makes a day out of coming to the rodeo. And then that just rolls right into the evening show with the chuck wagon racing and the Bell Grandstand show. And what's cool, the past couple of years is we've had relay racing, which features 10 Indigenous teams with a traditional race on a horse. So that's, it's really, you know, quite a unique experience. And then with the Bell Grandstand show, there's a wonderful performance by the Young Canadians, who are a longtime local group of youth who practice all year round and train all year round to perform just an amazing show, and all the different aspects that are involved in that. And then at the end of the night, it's fireworks. So a wonderful 11-minute fireworks show, just to kind of cap off the evening. It's a multiple day trip. Some people come for the entire 10 days. You want to experience what's happening in the city with the pancake breakfasts. And yeah, it's just a really, you know, 10 day long, it longer actually party, in this city, and from the business people downtown Calgary to, we're having pop-up stampedes in, with the immigrant services in Calgary to kind of welcome all walks of life to enjoy the Calgary Stampede. And there's really something for everybody.
It's wonderful. It really does sound like something that is going to inject a whole lot of life into Calgary culture this summer after all the quiet days of the pandemic. Let's go back for one second to the rodeo part of this. Now, I think I'm right about this. The competitors are competing for real money, and these are professional riders and ropers and so on. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely. They compete for day. They, like, rodeo cowboys compete all year round, pretty much. Calgary is one of the stops, one of the major stops on their trip. It is one of the richest outdoor rodeos on the planet. So that's something we're really proud of. And it's nothing like anything that they experience in other rodeos. Houston, the livestock show in Houston is our kind of our biggest comparable, but there's nothing like competing in the infield, the way that the Calgary Stampede embraces their rodeo competitors in terms of the crowd. I know that I've talked to lots of rodeo competitors that say that, like, this is their favorite stop by far. They get treated so well, and they get a chance to, you know, win some big money, and it's life-changing money, like all culminating with the heading into wild card Saturday, and then competing in the final on Championship Sunday, and the richest single day payout, I believe, in rodeo. So a really, like you just really feel the authenticity from the competitors, that they really love being here. And, you know, there's lots of local athletes that, you know, are inspired by the Calgary Stampede. You look at Dawson Hay, he's a multiple time competitor, and his dad competed in the Saddle Bronc here at Calgary Stampede, and, you know, multi-generational competitors that have seen their, you know, dad or mom compete in the Calgary Stampede and want to follow in their footsteps. So it's the best of the best, really. You want to be here if you're a rodeo competitor, that's for sure.
Well, and that word that you used, authentic, I think that really is what it is. And there's a difference between watching a rodeo show and watching a rodeo competition, where the competitors are serious professional athletes, and this is how they make their living. It's a very different feel, because I've seen both, and they're both fun, but the authenticity of this one is really something special.
Yeah, so there's amazing stories that come out of it. Like there was a grandma that won the barrel racing. You know, there's,
wow,
guys that have, broken bones, broken their back, and, you know, made a miraculous comeback, and, you know, get back on the horse, so to speak, and really have win life-changing money, and can kind of support their families and their love of the sport. So it is a, It is an amazing, and all those stories emerge throughout the 10 days. And, you know, people come back and start watching, you know, start cheering for certain competitors because they learn about these, young men and young women that have, you know, dedicated their lives to rodeo and competition.
Right. Now, I have to ask, there have been concerns in years past about animals being injured during the stampede. And I know that measures are being taken to reduce those sorts of incidents. Can you tell me a little something about that?
Yeah. So the Calgary Stampede is actually really proud that we lead the industry in North America when it comes to stringent and comprehensive rules, policies, and procedures for the care and protection of animals. So, you know, we continue to identify enhancements for animal care through scientific consultation and analysis. So this includes annual audits and daily assessments of the Stampede's agriculture, rodeo, and chuckwagon areas during the annual Stampede celebration by Jennifer Woods. She's an independent expert on animal handling, behavior, and welfare. She was trained by Dr. Temple Grandid, who has a, you know, background in the animal care world. And, you know, we received counsel from an independent animal care advisory panel, a group of specialists with regulatory, veterinary, animal welfare, and research expertise. And we also participate in regular research projects carried out by the University of Calgary and their veterinary medicine program. So we really, we believe that we're really proud of our animals, our connection with animals. And, we really believe that it's important to just as important to nurture and ensure the safety of our guests on park. And we try to take that same care with our animals. So we're really fortunate to have the opportunity to engage with leading experts, like I mentioned before, and we're committed to ongoing safety and care actions. So our Fitness to Compete program is the most comprehensive animal medical program on the continent. And it covers the chuckwagon races and heavy horse pull competitions. So it's, you know, ensuring that the horses are, you know, fit to compete and not under any stress or duress. And, you know, we have made some changes when it comes to the chuckwagon racing, and from the track safety to changing the number of wagons per heat and testing the track itself. It's really important to have the perfect track conditions. So we're aimed at taking it from good to great. So a lot of initiatives happening every year and constantly. It's an ongoing project, or not project, but it's an ongoing extremely important subject for the Calgary Stampede.
And that's really good to hear. And I'm excited about the Stampede being back in action this year in its fullest form. And I'm guessing that a lot of my listeners right now are thinking the same thing. So would now be a good time to be buying tickets and looking for places to stay?
Oh my gosh. Yes. Yes. There's so much to see. And we didn't even really talk about Elbow River Camp, which is it's such a wonderful celebration. I can't believe I did kind of mention it, but since the beginning, the Calgary Stampede has been proud of its connection with the Indigenous cultures. And so, like, dating back to 1912, when Guy Wiedek invited more than 1,800 First Nations people to lead the first parade and to camp and bring their families and to share their culture with people that were coming to the Stampede, at a time when that really wasn't, accepted or widely encouraged. So we've really tried to celebrate that. And new this year at the Calgary Stampede is going to be Western Canada's largest powwow. So it's a massive powwow competition where there's $100,000 in prize money, and members of different First Nations communities are competing in traditional dancing. And it's really quite something. And it's only for a few days during the Stampede. And it's going to be fantastic this year. But Elbow River Camp is you know, a place where 26 families have held teepees there since the beginning. So First Nations of Kenai, Piikani, Siksika, Tsuut'ina, and the Stoney Nakoda Nations of Bearspaw, Chiniki, and Wesley. So they love sharing their culture. They love, you know, talking about their teepee and their traditions. And there's bannock making, there's meat cutting demonstrations, there's traditional hand game demonstrations, and really just a neat cultural. You really learn something every time you go there, and you see something different every time you go there. So I would encourage that.
It sounds wonderful. Now, if someone wants to go to a website to have a look at all of this and plan their visit, where would they go?
Yes, calgarystampede.com. And you can find out everything from tickets to planning your entire Stampede visit, to planning out the concerts you want to see, the different artists, and everything is all there on the website. Rodeo competitors, check wagon drivers, everything is right on our website.
That's wonderful. Kristen, thank you so much for being with me today. I think that there are a lot of listeners out there who are already starting to pack their bags to get ready to head to the Calgary Stampede.
I hope so. Welcome. We welcome you all.
Thank you. I hope to be talking to you again soon after the Stampede so you can tell me how well it all went. Thanks so much for being with us. Don't go away, listeners. We're going to take a short break, but we'll be right back with more Liz Fleming Travels.
This is Liz Fleming Travels, presented by CAA Travel on 610 CKTB. Now, back to Liz Fleming Travels on 610 CKTB.
So, Travel Buddies, remember last week we were talking about how to save money on gas? I've got good news. If you happen to be a CAA member, you can save 3 cents per liter on fuel every time you fill up at a participating Shell station. That's all you have to do is just swipe your CAA membership card at the pump or in the store, or you can download the Shell EasyPay app and just load your membership number and payment details right into the app, and you'll get automatic savings on every trip. Questions? You can learn more and find your closest Shell station at caaniagara.ca/Shell. 3 cents a liter makes a difference, I'll tell you, particularly if you're planning a road trip this summer. And if you are, you need to be prepared for the unexpected. And the only way to really do that is by being a CAA member, so you can have the peace of mind of knowing that they'll have your back with 24/7 roadside assistance. Are you already a member? Maybe you want to think about upgrading to a plus membership. If you do, you'll receive free towing up to 250 kilometers. You might think, I'll never need that. You know what? My family needed it twice in 2 weeks. I know. Yeah. Were we happy that we had that CAA Plus membership? Oh, we sure were. And one last thing I wanted to mention, we are just about to dive into the 2022 Summer Games. We've been talking about it forever, it seems, but the torch has been lit and it's on its way. And CAA Niagara is going to join the 2022 Summer Games torchbearers as they're making their way through each of Niagara's 12 municipalities. And guess what? They will be towing the torch relay trailer. I'm excited about the summer 2022 games. I mean, it's taken forever to come, but now it's here. And I think we should all be happy for the opportunity to get out, be together, and celebrate. Well, Travel Buddies, I'm afraid that's all the time we have for this week. Thanks so much for being with me. It is such a pleasure to spend this hour with you each week. I hope you'll join me again next week for another episode of Liz Fleming Travels.
You've been listening to Liz Fleming Travels, presented by CAA Travel. Dream now, travel later. CAANiagara.ca.